Welcome to the Our CAR T-Cell Journey podcast. We'll talk to real patients and their caregivers as they're going through this treatment that is providing hope where before there was little. I'm your host, Diane Windsor, and my son, Brendan, is a 20-year-old leukemia patient. We are very hopeful and optimistic that CAR T will save his life. Hi there. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm recording this a lot later than I had initially planned to. Today is Friday, November 23rd, 2018. It happens to be the day after Thanksgiving, which it turns out is very appropriate because I do have a lot to be thankful for today. Not only did I have all of my kids at home yesterday for a great meal with myself and my husband, the day before Thanksgiving, on Wednesday, Brendan's T-cells were shipped from Dallas to the Novartis lab in New Jersey for genetic modification. So we're very happy and thankful for that. We're probably looking at about 4 to 6 weeks turnaround time now, but that's okay. At least they are there. We have insurance approval and they are on their way. Well, they're there already. They ship it overnight. So we know that they have arrived. We are probably going to have a tentative infusion date early next week. So that's going to be great. Then we'll know what to expect as far as timing goes. So we're probably looking around the Christmas to New Year's time frame, which is just fine. We have no special plans. We're just going to lay low, keep Brendan in this kind of holding pattern where he's taking his oral chemo every day, going to the clinic once a week. His numbers are still looking good, so he can be around people as long as they're not sick. And he can go out and see friends, go to movies if he wants to. He's still kind of tired. He doesn't feel like doing a whole lot, but that's okay. That's just fine. So for this episode, I actually went ahead and I created a script for this podcast because I think it's going to be easier for me to spend time writing a script as opposed to spending a lot of time editing the audio for the podcast. So that's my new plan. If some of this seems a little bit out of date, I apologize. But as I said, I had hoped to get around to recording this episode before today, and that didn't happen because life, you know, life gets in the way. So thanks again for tuning in, and here's today's episode. Episode 3. You know, people really surprise me. The people you think might stop by to see Brendan don't, but then out of the blue, the doorbell rings and there's the last person you'd ever expect to see. It was late afternoon a few days ago. I was still working upstairs in my home office, and Brendan was hanging out in the family room watching TV. I opened the door, and there stood this adorable family that we've known for years. Mom, Dad, and their little 5-year-old son. The dad is a longtime friend of my oldest son. They had gone to high school together, and they had just heard that morning about Brendan's leukemia. So, since they live in the neighborhood, they decided to stop by and say hello. That spontaneous visit meant so much to me. I think it's very likely that a lot of people, both friends and family, aren't quite sure what to do when someone you know is battling a serious illness like cancer. Of course, I'm not going through it, but my child is, so that's pretty close. I see Brendan sitting around watching TV, and I really wish that more people would just drop by to visit. That's what he needs right now. While we're still waiting for the CAR T-cell infusion, he doesn't have much to do. Visitors are the best. If you're wondering what you can do for a friend or a family member going through something like this, just stop by or call if you're too far away. Just let them know that you're thinking about them and that you care. It really means the world. I'd like to say that this episode is dedicated to a young man who I'll call M. I met M's mom on a Facebook group. I learned that she also has a 20-year-old son who was diagnosed with B-cell acute lymphoblastic leukemia with a Philadelphia-like chromosome, just like my own 20-year-old son. And he's being treated at the University of Minnesota Children's Hospital, which is where we started this journey. M had a bone marrow transplant on Friday, November 2nd. His team of doctors believes that this is the best next step, and if this doesn't work, then they will consider CAR T. This family is constantly on my mind, and I wish the best for them. Just because a kid is 20 doesn't mean that he isn't your baby anymore. I also want to say, on the record, very officially, that my kid is an excellent patient. He is always so nice to the doctors, nurses, medical assistants, phlebotomists, everybody else who has been involved in his care. When they ask him how he's doing, he always says fine. His spirits are high, and they're even better now since his poor body isn't so full of that nasty chemo that he was getting for a long time. He is going out with friends, doing some pottery, and doing some whittling, thanks to the lovely gift that our next door neighbor brought over. And he is awake before 3 p.m. He's actually getting up pretty early these days. And I am just so, so happy that he's feeling better. So to continue our CAR T-cell journey, on October 18th, his T-cells were collected. He was hooked up to the apheresis machine for 5 hours, and about a quarter of a bag was filled with his T-cells. On the Wednesday of that week, we went to the hospital, and the catheter was inserted into his neck. This was an outpatient procedure. Of course, they knocked him out because this catheter was inserted directly into his jugular vein. That would not be a whole lot of fun if you were awake for that procedure. He's 20 years old, as I've said, but he is being treated pediatrically at Children's in Dallas. And I talked to Brendan's oncologist about this a little bit, and he explained it to me like this. Most adult cancer patients are around 60 years old. Their chemo treatment needs to be less aggressive. Otherwise, the chemo would do more harm than good. However, young kids can handle this more aggressive treatment. Since we have this threshold of 18 years in this country that states, now I'm an adult, we know as parents that they aren't really. But still, young adults can handle the more aggressive chemo that the younger kids can. This is why young adults up into their late 20s who are diagnosed with a childhood cancer like ALL are treated with a pediatric protocol in a children's hospital. That was a bit of a sidebar, I know. Back to the catheter. So we went home that night after the procedure, after it was inserted, which really made me a little nervous because he had this thing hanging out of his neck, these tubes. And of course, the ends of the tubes were capped, so there wasn't any risk of bacteria or anything entering his bloodstream. Luckily, Brendan knew that he shouldn't mess with the tubes that were sticking out of his neck, so we were okay. The next morning, we returned to Children's for the apheresis. Two wonderful women from Carter Blood Care hang out in the room with us for the entire time. Of course, once he was connected to the machine, he couldn't go anywhere. I can't imagine how a young child would handle this. How do you explain to a 3 or 4 year old that they are stuck in this bed to this machine for 5 or 6 hours and they can't go anywhere? That's got to be so rough for those kids and their parents. It was funny though. Brendan and I were kind of speculating about why a technician needed to attend to that machine all the time. We were guessing that maybe something could get snagged and maybe the catheter would be ripped out and his blood would spray all over the room. Isn't that lovely? We are very grateful that the two ladies from Carter Blood Care were there the whole time hanging out with us. Nothing happened. It all went very smoothly. So that same day, we were informed that if a sufficient number of T cells had not been collected, then Brendan would have to have apheresis again the next day, we would get a phone call by 9 o'clock that evening with the information. But that call didn't come, so we just planned to go back the next day to have the catheter removed. Also, they would prescribe a low-dose chemotherapy to keep his leukemia at bay until the date of the infusion. So we went home, and we went back again to Children's the following day. That was Friday of that week. And removing that catheter is so much easier than inserting it. We were simply in an exam room in the clinic area of the CCBD ward at Children's, and our nurse practitioner, Tara, came in. She applied some pressure. Well, first she had to remove all of the tape that was holding it to his skin, that was making sure it wasn't easily gonna come loose. And that was probably the worst part. They use their stuff that, removes the adhesive easier, makes it a little bit easier to unstick it from the skin. And then after that, she simply put some pressure on the area where the catheter entered his neck and then pulled the whole thing out and then just held it there for a couple more minutes, and that was it. It was a cakewalk. So now he's on some oral chemo meds that he takes every day. He takes a preventive antibiotic. He takes an antifungal as well. And that is pretty much it. This can go on for multiple weeks, and his leukemia will be kept at bay until the new cells are ready. Our primary oncologist told us that she once had a patient who ended up waiting about 3 months for his CAR T cells, and this treatment was just fine. It was just what he needed. And it's nice because Brendan feels pretty good. He's still sleeping a lot, which is certainly understandable. He has a little neuropathy in his hands and his feet, and we're starting physical therapy for that. But otherwise, he's doing okay right now. We're told that the neuropathy is fairly common because of he was really blasted with a lot of chemo for 3 months, and he was on bed rest basically for 2 months. He wasn't, he was in his bed for that whole time when he was in the hospital. So if we work on it a bit at home and attend these physical therapy appointments, we're hoping that that's going to help him get over it pretty quickly. So why are we waiting so long for the CAR T cells to be ready? Actually, it's been 4 weeks. Everything is, moving forward as it should, but it was all about the insurance. So we needed to wait for the insurance approval before the T cells could be shipped to the Novartis lab. And I'll tell you, dealing with insurance companies is not for the faint of heart. As the patient or the caregiver, we can't just wait for them to do their thing and get back to us and assume that everything that needs to be done is being taken care of. Especially since Brendan's T cells are hanging out in a freezer in Dallas until the insurance company approves of this procedure. I want them to be in the lab being genetically modified so that, they can get back here and into Brendan where they're supposed to be. So it did take a few weeks. It took a good 4 weeks between the apheresis, where the cells were harvested, and the day that they were shipped. But as Brendan's caregiver and his advocate, I can help move things along. My contact with the managed care department in the hospital, who are the ones who communicate directly with the insurance company, was kind of getting the runaround. She was trying to send the request for approval to the right person at the insurance company, and wasn't having much luck at all getting to the right department. So luckily, I was able to connect managed care with Brendan's case manager at the insurance company. And I'll tell you, these people have been invaluable. My direct contacts with managed care at the hospital and our case manager at the insurance company are angels. I know that they want this life-saving treatment for Brendan, and they're doing what they can to help. Another incredible resource for families and patients is the hospital social worker. The social workers that we've worked with, both in Minneapolis and Dallas, help patients and their families with lodging, finances, counseling resources, parking, transportation, And I'm sure there are many other things they help with that I'm not even aware of. The social worker was one of the first people I met when Brendan was admitted back in Minneapolis. And she knew that I was shell-shocked and that I didn't know anything that needed to be done. Not medically, but just to help us get through the day. And she was always there, and she helped so much. So it is so important that as patients or parents, we are constantly on top of this treatment plan. I called the clinic with a couple of questions that I had the other day, and I apologized to the nurse for calling so often with so many questions. And she told me that the team welcomes questions from the parents. They wish that more parents would be more involved. And that blows me away. I can't imagine not being involved. I am a control freak. That's part of my nature. But I need to be doing whatever I can to make sure that my kid is receiving the best treatment that he will possibly receive. And I need to make sure that everyone is doing what they said they would do. It's my job as mom to harass everybody. Well, to a point, right? But don't be afraid to call your care team and get the answers to the questions that you have. So in CAR-T News, I saw an article on Medscape.com that talks about how cost-effective CAR-T therapy really is. Even though the price tag of $475,000 is very hefty, the fact that many patients who receive CAR-T tend to achieve remission faster and they stay in remission longer than patients who receive other forms of treatment. Now, this article does specifically discuss pediatric leukemia, and we're still learning more and more about it every day because it is so new. But I would recommend that you check out that whole article written by Roxanne Nelson. I also read an article recently about Hannah and Zach from the UK, who are CAR-T celebrities over there. Hannah is Zach's mom, and they knew that Zach's best chance of treatment was to receive CAR-T cell therapy, and it was not available in the UK at this time when they really needed it. So she did a ton of fundraising. She raised, I think, just under £1 million in about 6 weeks. I could be wrong with that number. It could be more like 600,000, but still, it's up there. And that's enough to cover the treatment price and everything related to it, and of course, travel and lodging expenses. So I know that they were just here in the United States, I think last week. They went to CHOP, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, which is really, I'm pretty sure that's a hospital that pioneered CAR T cell therapy for pediatric patients. And they had little Zach's for rhesus. Now, Zach is one of these four-year-old patients that had a tough time with that. He did not understand at all why he had to sit still in this bed for 5 hours connected to this this machine that was, you know, taking his blood out of his body and spinning it around and then putting it back in. And that's really tough on a mom. Hannah, I feel for you. But we're so excited that things are moving forward for Zach. They went home after phoresis back to the UK, and when it's time for infusion, they're going to come back. So, you know, you guys are in my thoughts a lot, along with Mr. M, who I mentioned earlier. You know, we get to know each other on these various Facebook groups, and we're all in the same boat. We just want this miracle treatment so that our loved ones, or maybe ourselves, will be healed from this terrible disease. Next time, I hope to have some news about the date for Brendan's CAR-T infusion. And as I said earlier, it's probably going to happen around Christmas time, possibly New Year's. We're going to have a pretty low-key holiday season at home. I think my husband wants to smoke a prime rib for Christmas. We did turkey for Thanksgiving, of course, so it's going to be prime rib for Christmas. I'm always looking for new ideas for side dishes. I kind of run out of ideas for some reason. So if you have any ideas for your most favorite holiday side dish recipes, please send them to me. You can reach out to me by visiting motinabooks.com. That's motinabooks.com. And I look forward to hearing from you, and I hope that you find the podcast useful.